Welcome to Just Bible Ministries Fellowship Broadcast. This is Mark Cooper, and today we're going to talk about God's opinion. God's opinion is the important thing that we need to concern ourselves with. And those who believe in His Word should strive to understand what His opinion is. We're going to take a look at and talk about Genesis chapter 19. We're going to talk about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot. And then we're going to go into Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to read a couple verses of Romans chapter 1. See, visitors came to Lot. They came to see him while he was in Sodom. Lot was fearful of the men of Sodom, so he convinced the two visitors to be his guest and to stay in his house. As Lot and his guest were relaxing, the men from Sodom came and demanded that Lot send out the guests so that they could have sexual relations with them. What? The men of Sodom were so perverted, they tracked down those foreign men to Lot's home. Even more perverted were the men when Lot offered his daughters instead of the two men. More perversion in this story is that the two men were actually angels from the Lord. And the men from Sodom wanted to have sexual relations with them. See, Genesis 19 documents this event. And this chapter displays God's opinion on immorality and sexual activities outside of the norm. He hates it. His wrath against the men of Sodom was so great that it resulted in a complete fiery annihilation of their civilization. See in verses 24 and 25 of chapter 19 in Genesis. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valleys and all the inhabitants of the city and what grew on the ground. He pretty much destroyed it. He wiped it out. He turned it into pillars of salt so that there was no more vegetation. See, the men of Sodom, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah became so perverse that God couldn't stand it anymore. And his opinion against that perverseness is that he hates it and he has to do something about it. Paul's message to the saints in Romans categorizes these same types of perversions as ungodly and unrighteous. If we take a look at Romans chapter 1, verses 18. Verses 18 through 27. And I'm going to read those real quick for us. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who supposes truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood, though, through what has been made, so they are without excuse. See, those first verses are the perverseness and the unrighteousness and the ungodliness. Men suppressed it. Men pushed it away. They should have known better. They did know better because creation shows us who God is. Verse 21, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And exchanging the glory of the incomparable God for an image in the form of men and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. See, they gave up God to make idols. They gave up God to be more concerned about animals. They gave up God to create something that is different and more physical than Him. But they gave up the Creator, the one that they can see in the trees and the mountains and the sea and the sky. Verse 24, therefore, God gave them over in their lust of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonoring among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural functions for which is unnatural. And in the same way, also, the men abandoned the natural function of a woman and burned in their desire towards one another, men with men, committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their errors. God calls this foolishness. He says it's worthy of death, and it's ungodly and unrighteous. Paul teaches that a woman who exchanges the natural functions for unnatural functions and relations is sin. See, natural functions is a man and a woman. Unnatural is woman to woman. And he calls these despicable, ungodly, and he hates them. They dishonor God. They've exchanged his glory for human pleasure. See, when we want to do something for ourselves, when we think we know better, we are putting ourselves above God and we sin. And that's what is done with these sexual impurities. It's what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. Men were after men and women were after women. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2, Paul documents God's desired relationship. Because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife, and each woman is to have her own husband. In the previous chapter of 1 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 9, Paul writes this, "Or did you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, or idolaters, or adulterers, or effeminate, or homosexuals, or thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." See, God's opinion is clear. He hates the act of homosexuality and says it deserves death. But is homosexuality, is being gay any different than any other sin? The list in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 classifies many sins that deserve death. There isn't any sin that is worse than another. All sin deserves God's wrath. Rejecting God's ordinances and living a life in defiance of Him subjects us to His wrath and sentences us to death of eternal separation from Him. The remedy of this is repentance. In Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 3, people came to Jesus and accused the Galileans of polluting the blood of the sacrifice. Jesus responded that their sin is no greater than any other sin. His direction to the accusers was that they needed to repent for their own sin in order to eliminate their own punishment and eternal death. The Pharisees, they brought a woman who was caught in adultery. They brought her to Jesus and said, "Jesus, what's your opinion?" And they were asking, "Should we stone her according to the law?" See, the Pharisees were not wrong in their understanding of the law, because the sinful act of adultery does deserve death. Jesus responded by not addressing the woman's situation, but he probed into the life of those who wanted to be the administrators of judgment, those who wanted to carry out the death sentence. He probed into their life. Jesus did not address the law. He disarms the accusers by saying, "He who is without sin, let him be the first one to throw a stone at her." See, one by one, the stones dropped and everyone left. No one is sinless. No one could judge. No one could sentence this woman. In a magnificent display of grace, Jesus says to the woman, "I do not condemn you either. Go, and from now on, sin no more." That's a story that is in John chapter 8. See, none of us are sinless. We all have sinned. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." None of us can rule as judge over anyone else. No one can throw the first condemnation. The lesson Jesus teaches in this event is for us to understand that we need to check our own lives and repent of our own sins. Repentance is to change our actions, to stop what displeases God, to stop the actions that he hates, to live within his commandments. And that's tough. See, we have desires, we have passions, we have these physical, fleshly, worldly desires that are in front of us that are burning, whether it's heterosexual, homosexual, whether it's theft, whether it's greed, whether it's pride. They're all sins that are driven from our bodies and our flesh and our humanness. But what we need to do is understand God's opinion of those. And Paul says later on in Romans, we need to crucify our flesh, meaning we have to put those desires to death. And see, the way we do that is through the help of the Holy Spirit. See, our sin is covered. Our sin is paid for. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to this earth, and when he walked this earth and he showed grace to the woman who was caught in adultery, and he challenged the Pharisees and the Sadducees to focus in on their own sin, that Jesus lived a sinless life. He's the only one that can judge because he lived a sinless life. That Jesus lived on this earth, and he died on a cross. He died a brutal physical death. But most importantly, what he did was he died a separation from God the Father. And that separation from God the Father is when he bore our sins, because the Father could no longer look onto sin. And Jesus took it on. And that's when he says on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Because he's taken on the sin, and God the Father couldn't look on it. And what Christ did at that point in time, he took your sin. Regardless of what it is, he took your sin and he bore it. And he died on that cross. He was buried in a tomb and he rose again. And he defeated and conquered death, the death that we deserve regardless of what sin we do. We deserve death. And Jesus took on that death and he conquered it and he rose again. And right now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And the second chapter of 1 John says that he is our advocate. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he is arguing for us, those who believe in him. And he sent the Holy Spirit into our life. See, the Holy Spirit is the way we conquer, the way we repent, the way we maintain working and living within the desires and the opinion of God and his laws and his commandments. See, it's hard because it's easy to go down the wrong path, but we have to constantly ask for help and rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us in the right direction, to keep us away from sin, regardless of what the temptation is, regardless of what our desires are. We need to not go there and ask the Holy Spirit for help and not give up, because when you give up, that's when he gives up. And he turns you over to your own selfish ambitions and your selfish desires. And the end result there is death. But there's hope, and he gives you life. He gives you the life eternal. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And he's the one that gives us the eternal life. He saves us, and he provides the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. God's grace through that sacrifice. See, he enlisted us into his kingdom. When we repent and when we constantly desire with our heart to live the way he wants us to live, that's what he wants. That's what he desires. And he gives us an inheritance as a result of that. Are we going to fail? Absolutely. Are we perfect? No. Will we go back to our fleshly desires? Yes. But the core heart, the core mindset is to defeat that sin and to live the way he wants us to live. See, Romans chapter 7 says that Paul writes that there's a tension that we do what we don't want to do, and we don't do what we want to do. But in Romans chapter 8, verses 1, he says, because I know that, because I lived the life on the earth, and I understand that temptation and how hard it is, if you repent and you're truly mine, there's no condemnation. But we've got to repent, and we have to have a desire to change and to follow his ways. His opinion is for us to live a life that's pleasing to him. His opinion is that he hates sin, regardless of what it is. So today, repent and change. Repent and change and focus on him. And the way you do that is you seek the Holy Spirit, you get into his word, understand his word, and pray, and meditate on who he is. And what we read was the one way we understand his magnificence is creation. A beautiful sunset, a full moon. Those are his. And we focus in on his creation. Thank you for your attention. If you have any questions, please send me an email. I'd love to hear your responses. I'd love to hear your comments. mark.cooper@justbibleministries.org. Go on to our website and find out more about our ministry and what we do around the world. justbibleministries.org. We'd love for you to like us on Facebook and follow our updates. Join us again next Thursday as we examine the Word of God and what it has for us. Until next time. This is Just Bible Ministries, one project impacting many people.